Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be with us on this special day, hot time of the year. I seem to recall a number of years ago that after Hurricane Katrina had gone through the various areas, that for several weeks after that, it was incredibly hot in most of those areas. I don't know if that's one of the after effects of having a hurricane, but at least it has gotten safely past us, and we certainly are grateful for that. As soon as we're done with worship today, we ask you to stay for a little bit. We have got a time of fellowship back in our special fellowship area. But this is something we're going to start doing again the second Sunday of every month. I think most of the groups that are going to actually be hosting it have already been lined up. But nevertheless, on behalf of the opportunity for us to share with the goodness that we have, before worship, during worship, and then also after worship, we ask you to please join us for that. Then also, there is, back in that fellowship area, there's a bulletin board that's over on this side, and it kind of points back this way, where we have got, there's this fishing outing that we've got scheduled for this coming Saturday. And that's a Friday night. We didn't have anybody signed up for it yet, but this is an opportunity. It's a special, you know, guided fishing tour that we're going to take. If you're one of these people that doesn't have your own fishing pole or whatever, don't even worry about it. And if you need more details, Barb Hahn, who's working a booth today, she's got some more details for you. But we're going to be doing that Saturday morning. So if you want to sign up for something like that, please do so while we're in the midst of our fellowship here, just right after worship. So just a couple of other things that we have got here. In the midst of things, I had mentioned also from last week, we do have the September calendars. They got out a little later, and sometimes we'd like them to. If you weren't here last week to get a copy, please get a copy this morning. And also, we want to remember in our prayers for today, we've got Pam Arndt is going to be having a procedure up at Bayonet Point this coming week. And so we're going to keep her in our prayers as we go into this week here. And we're going to be praying for the continued health of the members of our congregation. Our Secretary Chris Graves is continuing to go through some real struggles. And there's just a lot of things. In the midst of things, we do have some good news that Tim and you perhaps had read my email, that Tim and Sarah Childers, they're usually sitting just right over there when they're with us. She has given birth now. They already have a little boy, and now they also have a little girl. And mom and baby are doing just fine. We'll probably see them here just in a very short period of time here again. So, and little brother is really excited about having a sister now alongside of him. So, then just one thing about our Bible study that we just concluded. This is the Life. It's been just a wonderful series. The last installment of it is next Sunday. We're already inquiring because apparently they're getting very close to having a second edition of those done. They can get them done in a timely fashion and get them to us. We will extend that for another series of weeks, but they still don't have an exact release date. He said it might, but they weren't going to make any promises for us. They've been trying to get as much as they can done on that as they can. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Make me understand the way of your precepts. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word.
Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law.
I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, in his mercy, calls on us to turn from our sinful ways and live. And yet, by what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have run from his presence, trying to find refuge and solace in the false cover of the things of this world. By God's grace and peace, let us receive the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ, seeking his forgiveness, beginning with a moment of silence. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the maker of all things and the judge of all people. We admit and confess our sinfulness. We have turned away from each other in our thinking, speaking, and doing. We have done the evil you forbid and have not done the good you lay before us to do. We repent of all this and are truly sorry for these, our sins. Have mercy on us, kind Father, because of the obedience of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that with the power of the Holy Spirit, we may be moved to serve you faithfully. Set our feet upon the path of life, guided by your word and light, and build your kingdom here and inside each of us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. In love, God chose us for adoption as his heirs through Jesus Christ. We have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So as a called and ordained servant of the word, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost is written in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses speaks. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away by the worship of other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live in the land that you are going over to the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you a life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offsprings may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swears to you, your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. Paul appeals on behalf of the repentant runaways. From Philemon chapter 1, St. Paul writes, Paul, a prisoner for Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to the Philemonians, our beloved fellow workers, and to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church to the house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become efficient, effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but on your accord. For this perhaps is why he has parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me as your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Long ago and in many times and in various ways, God spoke to his forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. May the mercy and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you as he strengthens us as his own dear children. Amen. So naturally, I'm going to pick what is going to be yet another one of perhaps one of the hottest days of the year. And I'm going to begin by sharing with you a story about winter driving. At least we can think cold thoughts, okay? A number of years ago, it was actually, I was on my way back home for a break over the holiday season. My brother had just gotten married. Now, he's been married 6 years longer than I have, so you can figure out. It goes back quite a ways. And my parents had just moved out of state, and all of their cars and stuff like that were now in Texas. So I was the guy who had a college car, not quite, shall we say, a Lexus, that was driving a car full of people back to Iowa. We were coming down from the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and we had started on our journey, and I must confess to you, I don't remember paying much attention to the weather forecast. Well, we were going along. The roads were wet, but everything seemed to be going just fine. And then I came up and over this, it wasn't a huge hill, but just over a hill, and all of a sudden, right in front of me, everything had turned to ice. Just that fast. There was a cars strewn everywhere, in every direction that you can imagine. And of course, just as you see it, you are on it, meaning the ice. So all of a sudden, I'm skidding, I'm heading towards, and just no matter what I'm going to choose to do, it didn't look like there was going to be a path that was going to allow me to stay out of being in an accident. Because, almost every one of these vehicles were cars that, as soon as they had hit the ice, had started running into each other. Well, I did something that was kind of unusual. I wouldn't necessarily recommend this strategy, but because my mom was in the back, was yelling her head off at this whole thing, because I had decided there were two cars in front of me, and I was going to, I was fishtailing just a ton, trying to get my vehicle slowed down, but I decided to aim right at a couple cars that were right in front of me. Something told me that by the time I got there, they were going to be kind of out of the way. And that's exactly what happened. And then from there, I got myself, and my brain is like, now wait a minute. If this just turned to ice, the grass shouldn't be so bad. So I actually put two wheels where I was kind of, I got over to the shoulder, and where I was kind of, I had two wheels that were kind of running along the ditch. But then I was able to move a little way, and I was able to get around the whole thing where it would seem like no matter what I did, there was not going to be a good solution. Now, there still wasn't. We ended up having to, the next 20 miles took us almost 2 hours because the ice was just terrible. And as bad as it is when you're out in ice, especially if you're away from a city, which we were, the one thing you can't do on those icy conditions is stop. The main road still is the safest place to be, even if you've got to go super slow to get where it is that you're going to go. Now, I use that story because all of a sudden, in today's epistle lesson, Paul seems to have come over a hill and has had this gigantic conundrum dropped on top of him. All of a sudden, even though Paul is in prison himself, he now has, as a visitor and more than a visitor, a runaway slave. And he has also a master that's out there where all of a sudden, not only can this runaway slave be put to death, but even though Paul is in prison, yes, he can be charged with harboring a runaway slave and also be put to death. Now, what exactly took place that had this Onesimus coming to him? We can only guess. Apparently, a home-based church had been set up in the home of Philemon during that time, and we can only guess how long he had been hosting some of the worship services. Paul himself may have actually have helped organize some of those, or at the very least had been, whether he was a preacher or even just somebody that sat at that tiny little house church that they had. Well, apparently Paul made quite an impression on Philemon, but he also apparently made quite an impression on the slave Onesimus, to the point where, even though you would wonder how smart is it if you're going to run away, to run basically towards a prison where Paul is. Well, you know, Paul had any number of friends and acquaintances that came and visited him in prison. It would have been very easy for him to say, you know what, just take him and get him out of here. But Paul didn't want to do that. Paul understood that here, most likely, no matter what he does, there's going to be no good ending here. It just didn't seem like there was a way that this could resolve itself, even with the understanding of knowing who he had as a slave master in Philemon. But Paul had something else. And even as somehow or another, I ended up, you know, I was a college student back then. I really didn't know that I was going to have any kind of acumen where all of a sudden I get on ice and I can kind of figure out what I need to do. In the same way, Paul would not have had a lot of experience, but he had the Christian faith. And he knew what the touching of the faith does to us. You know, the same should be true for every single one of us. That is, we have become people who, however else we're identified, we want to be identified as people of the faith. We want to be able for people to say, these are people that, who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you have that, then sometimes maybe we can make something work here that we would never have ever tried. Because even this letter runs a huge risk, because Paul is making public now, you know, through the passing of a letter, what the situation is and what he is intending to do about it. Well, there are many times in Scripture that I could wish that, okay, just maybe they add a few more verses, or in this case, another chapter. Philemon only has one chapter. But if there were to have been a Philemon chapter 2, it would have been nice to have been able to say, this is how it turned out. But the simple fact is that a letter such as this, you know, when you look at some of the other letters of St. Paul and the topics that they deal with, it would seem unlikely that a letter like Philemon would have actually have been a part of Holy Scripture. We know that Paul wrote many other letters that were never a part of Holy Scripture. But if this one was a part of Holy Scripture, it probably tells us two things. Number one is that even decades later, long after Paul had been put to death, there was an understanding that apparently, A, this did work out the way that Paul was suggesting in the letter, and B, there were some things about that has got some universal truths for us as Christians. Things that we could read in that letter, even if it's just a short little thing, and it deals with a subject matter that we here in the United States have put behind us a long time ago. There's probably been no nation ever that has gone to greater lengths to rid itself of what was slavery than what we have now. But it was a reality then. And Paul just could not turn away from it. Now the problem, of course, is that rarely do things work out like this. Even as there were cars that were just strewn, pointed in every way that you can imagine, on that icy road, almost all of whom had gotten into an accident. Many of the cars had been rendered completely unusable in the midst of that. So also, do we by our lives find a way of choosing paths that force us to run away from the salvation and the forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ, our Savior? There are many people. We may know somebody. We may be that somebody who, whether we understand it or not, has been spending a good part of our life running. Not necessarily, where you can take a stopwatch and put a time as to how fast a person is running, but literally with our actions, are trying to hide, almost like Jonah, who was instructed to go one and decided to go exactly the other direction, trying to see if there was a way he could get away from God and his will. But when we stop running, when we stop trying to get away and invariably making a bad thing worse, we see something. First of all, we see that no matter how fast we run, we have gotten ourselves no farther away from Jesus Christ. We may try to run from him, but he is not going to run from us. In fact, just try and take some steps away from our Lord. I mean, that's what sin is. It's kind of walking away from the Lord. And what do we see? Our Lord keeps taking those steps. And the Lord, even though he was hardly in a position to sprint or run or jog and barely even to walk as he carried the cross to Calvary, he was able to take all of our sins upon him on that cross. And he was willing to do that, knowing that all the things that he had done in life was going to lead to one conclusion. It was going to lead to the cross. It was going to lead to crucifixion. It was going to lead to him giving up his life on behalf of each of us. But he's done that now. And now, my friends, we can stop running. There might very well be that one thing in our life that just, whether it's something that we remember from a sin from years ago, something we remember about somebody whom perhaps had wronged us, something that somehow just wants to dominate our thoughts and keep us from being and doing what the Lord would have us do. In the Old Testament lesson, in the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses was preparing the people for them to be able to go over into the promised land, he said, you know, you're going to have some choices. Choose life. And look, we'd like to think that a lot of the things that we do are choosing life. But he, of course, meant the life that brings us near to God. The life that allows us to be one with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The life that means that we live in the blessings that have started in the waters of holy baptism and come forth to him. No, my children, we do not have to run away from the Lord any longer. Because those things that we are running from have already been taken away. Sometimes a person has to wonder, what is it we're running from? There's nothing left except what Jesus gives. Now let's be clear. This morning's gospel lesson was almost a slap in the face. It didn't even seem proper that you end with these words, this is the gospel, this is the good news of our Lord, when he is making it clear, okay, if anyone does not, and he uses a word that is downright ugly, does not hate his own father. Let's be clear. Jesus is not encouraging hatred, except for one thing. Even as we love the sinner, he does encourage us to hate the sin. He encourages us to make sure that we will have nothing to do with sin in our lives. And sometimes that means that we're going to have to hate the things that we see, even from our own family, because we have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. And none of that is ever going to be easy. But what is easy is to understand what he has first taken from us. That same Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light, so come unto me." And we can. We can literally sprint towards the salvation offered through Jesus Christ. Friends, everything that we do in life, all of the ways that we prepare ourselves in the faith, will not keep us from something where all of a sudden we are staring at what seems to be a disaster, no matter what it is that's going to come about. An icy road that can only lead seemingly to disaster. A conundrum that has trouble pointed in every possible direction. But our Lord changes that compass. Our Lord is the one that has us where, even if we don't understand what we've been doing in life, he changes it around. So even if we try to run away from him, we're running towards him. Even if we try to turn our back on him, he turns around and gets in front of us and promises us that he is our Lord God, that we will always be his children, and that we can be received. Not just as people who were slaves, even slaves to sin, but as people that are now going to be useful in the kingdom of God, useful in the church, and useful as people that are waiting for that moment when we are given life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let's receive our offerings, and please fill out the Faith Fellowship cards if you've not already done so. Please note the special prayer response that we are using up on the screen as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord our God, we rejoice to be able to stand in your presence, to come before you, knowing that we have been freed from the bondage of sin, able to come before you in prayer and praise and thanks through your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that you're renewed in us a true living faith in Jesus, that we may be completely united with him, trusting in the righteousness that is based on his death for us on the cross. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy as we serve you and your children.
You alone are the source of all good intentions, all holy desires, and all just works. We therefore ask you to fill us with that love for you which expresses itself in humble and loving service to our neighbor, that sees in the midst of the conundrums of life a solution that brings all of us closer to you. So move us to show respect to everybody, to be generous, to share one another's burdens, and to act in sincere love to all people, patterning our lives on Jesus Christ, making our words sincere and edifying, our lives pure and godly, and our relationships with others peaceful and harmonious. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, make all your church so aware of your countless blessings, especially your gift of the gospel, that it may continually respond with thanks and praise. Inspire your people to proclaim Christ's saving love to all. Bless our homes with the joy of your presence. Remind each and every one of us that we may, by word and example, live godly lives, teach godly lives, and learn godly lives, that we may find joy in serving both you and others. Let us pray to the Lord. Look with pity on those who are facing trouble, trials, suffering, hardship, facing surgeries and procedures this coming week, facing any malady of body, soul, heart, mind, or spirit. Beyond those that we have already named before you, Lord, we now name before you somebody in our own life that's in need of the special help and comfort that we lift up before you now in a moment of silence. Strengthen them by your mighty power that they may remember that you are their only Savior and help. And hear our prayers. For the sake of him that we give praise forever and ever, Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At the bottom of page 7 in our service folders or up on the screen, we conclude with the morning prayer. We pray together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Once again, a reminder and an invitation to our fellowship time, just back behind the sanctuary here. Thank you for joining us, and may God's peace be with you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.